Louis Napoleon had modernized the essence of conservative rule, borrowing from his uncle, offering support to the same moderate social elements and economic groups that were rabidly opposed to both republicanism on the one hand, not to mention the emerging theories of socialism, and also opposed to royal restoration. He was crafting a new conservative formula based on the experiences of 1848. One was a stress on domestic order and stability, law and order, against the extremes, against the kind of revolutionary elan that had led to the outbreaks in February of 1848 and ultimately to the June days. He adopted a liberal economic policy. So on the one hand, he's moderate, he stands for, and even conservative in standing for law and order, and yet a very expansive liberal economic program, emphasizing economic growth for commerce and industry, laissez-faire economics. He buys the liberal economic agenda. Friendship with the church, borrowing again from a more moderate, even conservative quiver of weapons, control of the army, and of course later would come military glory and empire. What Louis Napoleon now had come to realize, and this would have a tremendous impact on conservatism in Central and Western Europe, was that if the people were allowed to vote, that universal male suffrage was not going to be something that would favor radical revolutionary politics and wouldn't favor the liberals, not at least the more radical ones. Rather, if you enfranchise the public, you're enfranchising peasants, you're enfranchising artisans, you're enfranchising, and then the largest group in French society was still peasant, that Paris was not France, that the liberals, despite their espousal and the cloaking of their interests in universal terms, that liberalism, though he never put it this explicitly, this is clearly the assumption on which he worked, an assumption that he had drawn from the experiences of 1848, is that liberalism was not a great mass political movement. It was a narrow class-based movement located primarily within the bourgeoisie, and that it would be possible to borrow elements from the liberal agenda without adopting the whole package. It is the beginning, and we'll see this as we look at the conclusions drawn from 1848 and from Louis Napoleon's reign in France by people like Bismarck, that it would be possible to draw, to extract from liberalism an economic policy when it could take something as central to liberalism as nationalism and rework it for essentially conservative objectives and conservative purposes. In that sense, conservatism would enter the post-1848 era revitalized. There would be very little effort made after 1848 in Central or Western Europe to go back to kind of Metternichian conservatism, to divine right, to legitimacy. Instead, there would be a conservatism that sought connections with a broader public. This would be one of the great challenges as liberalism and conservatism confronted one another in what came to be known as the Age of Realism, following the idealism of the revolutions of 1848.